Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Oil India Limited 3Q FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sabri Hazarika from Emkay Global Financial Services Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Emkay Global Financial Services, I welcome you all to the Q3 FY25 earnings conference call of Oil India Limited. We have with us the senior management of the company led by Mr. Abhijit Majumdar, who has recently taken over as Director of Finance. We also have Trailukya Borgohain, who's Director of Operations, and we have Mr. Rupam Barua, Executive Director of Finance and Accounts, Mr. Ranjan Goswami, Executive Director of Business Development, and Mr. Dharam Singh Mandal, Chief General Manager, Exploration and Development. So today's session would be a brief on the results by the management, and that would be followed by the question-and-answer round. So without any further delay, now I would request Oil India management for the opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
So good morning, all the participants who have joined us for this investor and analyst con call. So I am Abhijit Majumdar, Director of Finance, Oil India Limited. With me, I have my team represented by the senior executives from the operations department, from both business development, from finance. So may I now request our ED Finance to make the opening remarks?
Good morning, dear friends. At the outset, I would like to thank Emkay Global Financial Services Limited for organizing today's analysis call. I am Rupam Barua, ED Finance and Accounts of Oil. The company's financial results of Q3 financial year 25 were published on 7th February 2025. I'll briefly give some highlights about the performance of the company in both physical and financial terms. Now, coming to the standalone results and the beginning with the production front, the company has continued to improve its crude oil production, which is higher by 1.4% in quarter ended 31st December 2024 at 0.868 MMT vis-à-vis 0.856 MMT in quarter ended 31st December 2023. Crude oil production has increased by 4.1% in 9 months ended 31st December 2024 at 2.614 MMT vis-à-vis 2.511 MMT in the 9 months ended 31st December 2023. Natural gas production during 9 months ended 31st December 2024 is at 2.446 BCM, increased by 2.90% over production during 9 months ended 31st December 2023, which was 2.377 BCM. Natural gas production for quarter ended 31st December 2024 is marginally higher by 0.85% at 0.829 BCM vis-à-vis 0.822 BCM for quarter ended 31st December 2023. On the financial side, average crude oil price realization for Q3 financial year 2025 is $73.82 barrel vis-à-vis $84.14 per barrel for Q3 for financial year 2024, which is decreased by 12.27% for 9 months ended 31st December 2024. Average crude oil realization is $79.35 per barrel vis-à-vis $82.89 per barrel for 9 months ended 31st December 2023, which is decreased by 4.27%. average natural gas price for Q3 financial year 2025 has remained unchanged at 6.5 per MMBtu. The turnover for 9 months ended 31st December 2024 has increased by 1.38% to rupees 16,598.28 crore compared to rupees 16,373.06 crore for 9 months ended 31st December 2023, which is mainly due to higher crude oil and natural gas sale in 9 months of financial year 2025 compared to 9 months of financial year 2024. EBITDA margin for Q3 financial year 2025 has increased to 42.76% vis-a-vis 41.34% for Q3 of financial year 2024. Profit after tax for financial year 2025 is rupees 1,221.80 crore vis-a-vis rupees 1,584.28 crore for Q3 of financial year 2024. The profit after tax for 9 months and the 31st December 2024 has increased by 28.38% to rupees 4,522.71 crore vis-a-vis rupees 3,523.02 crore for 9 months ended 31st December 2023. The earnings per share for 9 months ended 31st December 2024 is rupees 27.80 share vis-a-vis 21.66 per share for 9 months ended 31st December 2023. I'm just giving you the financial performance of Numaligarh Refinery also. Profit after tax of NRL during quarter three of financial year 2025 is rupees 385.36 crore vis-a-vis rupees 858.72 crore during Q3 of financial year 2024, and profit after tax for 9 months ended 31st December 2024 is rupees 990.94 compared to rupees 1,516.66 crore for the corresponding period of last year. NRL's gross refining margin during quarter 3 of financial year 25 is USD 2.10 per barrel vis-a-vis USD 12.72 per barrel during quarter 3 financial year 24, and gross refining margin for the 9 months ended 31st December 24 is USD 3.61 per barrel vis-a-vis USD 13.12 barrel for the corresponding period last year. EBITDA for the quarter 3 financial year 25 is 656.7 crores vis-a-vis rupees 1,218.19 crores for the Q3 financial year 24. While EBITDA for the 9 months ended 31st December 24 is 1,789.21 crores vis-a-vis 2,297.57 crore for the 9 months and the 31st December 2023. Our consolidated results, the oil group's turnover for the 9 months ended 31st December 2024 is rupees 26,575.93 crore vis-a-vis rupees 26,137.84 crore for 9 months ended 31st December 2023. And consolidated profit after tax for the 9 months and the 31st December 2024 is rupees 5,542.66 crore vis-a-vis 4,647.51 crore for the 9 months and the 31st December 2023. The board of directors of the company has recommended an interim dividend of rupees 7 per fully paid equity share. With this, total interim dividend declared by the company till third quarter is rupees 10 per equity share. With this, my opening remark on the performance is over, and we are now open to question and answer session.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Probal Sen from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Very good morning, sir. The first question was actually on NRL. We have seen NRL's performance over the last couple of quarters actually, being a little bit more subdued than what we're used to. How much of this can be attributed to the ongoing expansion of capacity, activities of stabilization related to that, or would you say that it's pure operational issues or, the fact that Singapore margins have fallen in Asia? That is to account for this sharp fall in GRMs. How should we look at it and how should we look at it going forward, sir? That was my first question.
Yes, sir. Regarding the physical progress of the expansion plan, it has already progressed up to about 70%, 73%. Till 31st December 24, and the total
how much percent, sir? Sorry,
73%.
73. Okay, that's physical completion, right?
Yeah, physical completion. I am talking about.
Okay.
And as regards the capex incurred is already about 23,000 crore till December. Out of which about 12,000 crore is by way of debt financing.
So is this something that we should look at as a reason for the drop in operating performance in the last couple of quarters? These expansion activities going on and so on?
Sir,
GRMs and all have fallen very, very sharply.
Yeah, GRM has fallen compared to last 9 months. Last 9 months, GRM was about 13.12, whereas this time the GRM is 3.61. Okay,
yeah.
So there are several reasons actually. If you look at Pan India GRM, the GRMs are not as impressive as corresponding period last year for other independent also. That is the first thing. Second thing is there are some inventory adjustments which takes place while calculating the GRM. Now, if you knock out those inventory adjustments, then the ideal GRM would have been about 5.74 without excess duty benefit. And whereas the excess duty benefit is roughly about $18 per barrel. Okay, so if you take into account this $18 per barrel plus another $6 towards GRM without taking into account this inventory adjustment, then the GRM is roughly about $24.
Okay, just to try, if I can just for my clarity, so the inventory adjustment was for 9 months was about $2 a barrel. And about $18 a barrel is the additional excise benefit that we are getting for the 9 month period, right, sir?
Right.
Okay, got it. So that's one. The second part was, sir, just the other income seems to have fallen quite sharply in this quarter. Is it that some of the dividend payout we received was front ended for the second quarter?
No, absolutely. Actually, this year till 31st of December, we could receive dividend of about 690 crore only. Out of which 180 crore is from NRL, another 310 crore is from IOCL. But previously, what happened last year, we had some impressive dividend receipts, of which about 209 we had received from our Singapore subsidiary. So that was a major dividend received last year, which is not present this time. That is one thing. Another thing is that the dividend which we had received from NRL last year was around 164 crore. Apart from that, some dividends were also received, although not very significant, from BCPL and GNPL also, which are not present this year corresponding period. Then NRL dividend last year was around 164 crore. So that is why roughly about 1,100 to 1,200 crore was the total dividend receipt that we had last year, which this year is about only 700 crore. So there is a fall in the dividend receipt. So which has reduced my our income this time compared to last year.
Very clear, sir. Last question, if I may squeeze in. Sorry?
Addressing your query on the drop in GRM, if I can just step in, what has happened is across the board, you would see that GRMs have fallen. According to my understanding, except for MRL, none of the other companies are ahead of NRL so far as GRM is concerned. So that also has to be taken into account while you look at the bigger picture. That much I just wanted to underline.
Sure. So one last question, if I may squeeze in, can we get an updated number, if at all, of the production guidance for both oil and gas for FY26, if you have any updates?
So production
guidance.
Okay. The production actually is expected to be around finally around 3.48, with respect to the this thing for 2025. Although we targeted 3.6 around, but because of number of reasons, we had some of the areas where this is director of operations, by the way, Toliko Borgman. So we are expecting around 3.5, close to around. We will be trying very hard to reach 3.5.
That's for oil.
That's the outlook for oil.
And for gas?
3,300 for gas. That's that's our target now.
That is for this financial year, sir, right? And FY25.
Yes. So as far as production,
I was actually asking for FY26, sir, if there is a target as of now.
See, our target is to become a 4 million ton crude oil and a 5 BCM company.
Okay, 26.
So that's our target. So we are inching towards that. This year possibly, even though the target is 3.5, we may still reach that target. I am not writing off that possibility. However, as you have seen, that there are huge challenges. Our fields are all depleting fields. Still, I mean, most of the peer companies, they are suffering a decline. Why we are still maintaining, and this year also our production has gone up by 4.1%. So we are quite hopeful that possibly in the days ahead we will again be achieving a bigger target. Finally we reach that 4 million ton target by the year
27. So 26, you can expect that we'll maintain it, and most probably we are going to drill in some of the high potential areas this year, like Barekuri. So we are targeting those areas.
And one more
so
point.
Once we enter there, I think our production will pick up. And maybe we'll be reaching at around 7 at least. 3.65.
Just for your information, we have already crossed the Brahmaputra and gone to the northern bank of the river, where also we have observed, we have identified traces of hydrocarbon there.
Right.
Exploration and development from Exploration and Development Directorate. When we talk about the production and the production profile and what is going to happen till the end of this fiscal year and what is going to happen onwards, I would just like to tell you that Oil India Limited has been aggressively acquiring exploration acreages under the open acreage licensing policy bid round. And so was the case that you know that we are producing primarily from our main producing area in the south bank of the river Brahmaputra. When I say south bank of river Brahmaputra, I essentially mean that the river Brahmaputra, which flows from the mountains down to the alluvium plains, it divides our operational area into north bank and south bank. So this is the context we need to understand first. So our primary production from the Assam and Assam, Arunachal Pradesh or Assam and Assam Shelf Basin is coming from the main producing areas. So post acquisition of these acreages, we have aggressively carried out exploration activities. And I would like to tell you that after 3 decades of perseverance in the north bank of River Brahmaputra, it is for the first time that we have tasted crude oil, in the sense that we have established a working petroleum system over there. There have been several companies who have worked over there in the past, including us, but our perseverance has led us to establish a hydrocarbon system over there in place. So what we are doing now, in order to further monetize this discovery, we are planning extensive supplementary seismic and geophysical investigations so that these can be brought onto production. Because this has opened a plethora of area for us and new frontiers in the north bank of River Brahmaputra. This is one. Another thing that we are doing in order to increase and enhance our production from our main producing area or from our Rajasthan basin in the west is that we are carrying out extensive GNG studies and petroleum system modeling studies, both in-house and through the hiring of international consultants. Why so? Because the oil and gas, it lies in the minds of the geologists, geophysicists, and the reservoir engineers who think about it. So perceptions, opinions can bring about new insights. And let me tell you that even in south bank of River Brahmaputra, what we have been able to do is we have drilled the deepest onshore oil well in India, which is to the depth of 5,779 meters, which is not a rare feat. And the most important icing on the cake is that in one of the wells, we are from these deeper horizons, we are producing crude oil at the rate of around 40 kiloliters per day. So with the appraisal and the development of these discoveries, it is going to certainly aid in development of hydrocarbon resources. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for the deal. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Vivekanand S. from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is on NRL. You had spoken about getting additional approvals for petrochemical as well. What is the status of the total capex that is envisaged for NRL? And if you could give us an update on the timelines for that to come on stream, and simultaneously, how is the progress of the DNPL debottlenecking that you are doing? That's question one. I have one more on Oil India. Maybe we will talk about that after NRL's answer.
Yeah, as far as petrochemical project is concerned, that is a project of about 7,200 crore capex. Okay. And till now, the company has, NRL has already spent about 950 to 990 crores on this project. And the expected completion is maybe after 3 years. By December 2028.
Okay, could you also give us an update on the 3 to 9 MMTPA capacity expansion and the DNPL debottlenecking that you were planning simultaneously?
3 to 9 MMTPA capacity expansion of the NRL is concerned. That has already achieved about 70% completion. Physical progress has been made. And already about 23,000 crores of capex has already been spent on this project till now.
Out of which around 12,000 is debt funding. So that's the status. And it is likely to be commissioned by the end of this year.
And as far as
GNPL application is going on actually. This is a older line. So now capacity expansion is going on. So it will expand to 2.75.
Actually, sir, GNPL line, this was an exclusive line used by Oil India Limited and NRL for evacuating the oil's natural gas specifically to Numaliga Refinery Limited. So this was a dedicated pipeline which was constructed with 1 MMTPA capacity. But as on that, as Numaliga Refinery is under expansion, so they will require more appetite for natural gas. So as on that, although they are taking 0.9 to 1 BCM of gas from us through this pipeline, but they will be requiring additional gas up to around 2.5 to 2.75 BCM after completion of their expansion in December, which is targeted in December 25. So this GNPL line is under augmentation and expansion for that reason. So the project is progressing. It is being undertaken under two phases. First phase is of about 53 to 58 kilometers, and the next phase is 53 to under 190 kilometers. So that particular project is undergoing under GNPL own window, and it is having a capex of about 433 crores.
Yes. And the first phase is expected
to be completed by 31st of March 25, and second phase is expected to be completed by March 2026, so that it gets matched with the completion of our refinery expansion.
Okay, understood. As far as your current consumers are concerned for gas, how much, could you give us a broad split of the key consumers for your natural gas output, the current 3.3 BCM that you are generating? Where is it being sold to? Could you give us a rough sense of that?
It is not 3.3, sir. Per day, it will be around 7.
Sir, actually, our major customers are basically some fertilizer companies, some petrol companies.
We have NIPCO is there.
Power companies.
We have BVSL.
B-Gardens.
Yes.
So out of that, the major customers, to name a few, this is one is the Assam Power Generation Company Limited, which is called APGCL. Then there is NEPCO. The APGCL is taking our gas for two of their plants. One is Namrup Thermal Power Plant and Lakwa Thermal Power Plant. Then it goes to GPPL. So, and as far as fertilizer is concerned, it goes to VDSCL and APL. So then Tea Gardens, some of them go to the Tea Gardens and some small power plants.
Correct.
This is how this...
So, but our expectation is that once the IGGL is commissioned, we'll scale up our production. We have plenty of gas there. The current situation doesn't prompt us to scale up our production. However, the moment the IGGL happens and the CGD, the blocks that have already been awarded, and those companies are all doing their back-end work, so this integration of their network will help us to send gas to all parts of the country and all major parts of Assam.
And already recently, one thing has developed now for the Tea Gardens. Generally, the Tea Gardens in Upper Assam take the gas. So the Tea Gardens in the middle part of Assam and lower part of, they were not taking. Now there is discussion going on. So to supply the gas to them also, for these networks. Yes.
And major part of the gas goes to NRL also, as I mentioned in the previous. Yes.
How big are these customers, sir? Could you explain in terms of, let's say, scalability of your supply there?
What exactly is your query?
How big are the customers?
My question is, how big can it be from a sustainability and supply perspective?
Just please. We have Tuhin Bharataji with us. He can list out the name of the customers along with the consumption.
Sir, he's
coming.
As far as Tea Gardens are concerned, most of our Tea Gardens are supplied through our Assam Gas Company Limited, which is a CGD player and gas transportation company in the area. So currently they have close to 650 Tea customers, mostly in the Upper Assam region and Golaghat. And this same company is also expanding its own network, downstream network, in few other districts in their Upper Assam DA. Now, what the Director of Operations was mentioning, with the IGGL network coming in and connecting to Oil India's own upstream network, this gas will now become available even to the Tea Gardens, prolific Tea Gardens on the north bank of Assam, specifically Sonitpur, Vishwanath Chariali, Lakhimpur, all those areas. So it will suddenly give us fillip to doubling the number of Tea Gardens that we are servicing currently.
No, I think his question was how big are the customers.
So in terms of quantification, how much?
It's
650 customers.
Enter all India. NIMCO, how much they are taking?
So in terms of the bulk consumers of gas, industrial consumers, we have BCPL, which is taking around 1.35 MMSCMD of gas. NRL is taking around 1 million standard cubic meter of gas. Then there is APS, which is 0.5. BBSPL is taking 1.1 MMSCMD of gas. NIPCO is taking 1.4 MMSCMD of gas. APGCL has two power plants at Namrup and Lakwa. They are taking 1.16 million metric standard cubic meters per day of gas. Assam Oil Division, AOD refinery, is taking 0.3 MMSCMD. P Gardens is around 0.723 MMSCMD. So that's largely the big customers. There are other various small customers like GAIL and small industrial units, which take around 0.1 to 0.2, depending on the requirement.
Once the CGD happens, then you will have a lot of industries coming up in Assam, which are now using other sources of fuel. They would also be buying gas from us, because gas, you know, is the country's the objective is to transform to a gas-based economy. And then targeting the tea gardens in the northern part of the river, that all of that will help us to develop a real gas market in the northeastern part of the country.
If I may add, sir, there is a development coming up where is a new fertilizer plant has been planned in Namrup. So that also may probably become a source of gas consumption.
Another 1 million standard cubic meters.
Yeah, which could be. Currently, they are consuming around 1.1, which might go up to 2.3. Thank you so much.
That's very helpful, sir. Thanks so much for the detailed explanation. Just one small second question, which is related to the new well gas. So, ONGC, we heard them say that 10% of their production, the DGH has reviewed and classified as new well gas, where they are getting higher realization, 12% of the last month crude basket. When do you expect some of your production efforts, the hard work, getting rewarded with higher realization, sir?
Yeah, very interesting question, and we have already, you know, built up sufficient volumes of this new well and new intervention gas, and we, with our expansion plans, as Director of Operations mentioned, we expect this new well gas to multiply even further and become a large portfolio of our total gas production in the next 2 years to come. For the volumes which we have already, you know, under these guidelines, we have already submitted to DTH, which has been assigned the nodal responsibility of identifying and validating this gas. And very recently, DTH has vetted the quantities of gas which might be qualifying for this premium pricing. So we are now, since you understand this requires an allocation from the ministry, from our side, Oil India has already given some numbers. Once those numbers are vetted by the ministry, and we are expecting it to come soon, and it will, and we expect it to coincide with the DNPL augmentation and NRL coming, you know, NRL refining capacity coming up. Those two events should ideally coincide.
Sorry to interrupt. May I request Mr. Vivekanand to please rejoin the queue? We have participants waiting for the turn.
Yeah, I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. If you have a follow-up question, you may rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Gagan Dixit from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my question, sir. When you say that this you are waiting for the in Tanush gas grid to get completed, then you have the access for the rest of the India. So, my understanding correct that you are waiting its connectivity till Numaligarh, I think, because after that it's a then GAIL Guwahati Baroni pipeline, you will get it. So this, how much is the kilometer of the section, sir, that is left by the IGDL to be connected with your major field? I think it's in the Assam or Arunachal, I think.
So there are two propositions. One proposition is the DNPL pipeline, which is already getting augmented. And there is a proposal for interconnecting at NRL, at Numaligarh, with the Northeast Gas Grid. There is another proposal wherein Northeast Gas Grid, IGDL, has applied, has been given authorization from the ministry under Section 42 to lay a line up to Oil India's facility in Duliajan, which is the central hub of all gas processing for Assam and Arunachal fields. So this pipeline will directly get connected from Oil India's fields to the Northeast Gas Grid through a bigger pipeline. This pipeline will have a capacity of 3.3 MMSCMD. I hope that answers the question.
Okay. And sir, if my understanding correct, it's most likely it should be the Duliajan to the Kharsan somewhere. That's why you are waiting for the connectivity that for the in the region.
Regarding that, I'd like to answer you is that Kharsan is a little bit different because we are the connecting with Kunsai already. We have connected some 81 kilometers of pipeline has already been connected, and the Kunsai gas is coming. So by that way, we have reduced the flaring in Kunsai also, and we have increased our production also in Arunachal. So Kharsan, there is a proposal that Kharsan will also connect to the this comes from Arunachal, actually southern part of Arunachal, from eastern districts of Sanglang district. There is a Kumsai. So it is a 81 kilometer pipeline. So it crosses the many rivers, and it was a very daunting task, and our people have completed it. So I think if Kharsan any more gas comes up, because there is another JV, so that gas can be connected to this particular Borumsa line by another hookup line being hookup.
Sir, final question is, where it is expected to be completed, sir?
No, actually, Kumsai line is completed.
Okay. So in Dhanush, in Dhanush gas grid, that's the portion that you are expecting. So I think as you said that when it comes, that then your production you able to sell outside. So that's why I'm just trying to understand.
So we are talking about the Indradhanush gas grid.
So Indradhanush gas grid has been given authorization by MOPND. Now the proposal is with PNGRB. Once the PNGRB authorization comes, it is an 18-month project.
Okay, sir. Yeah, that's for me. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karthik Kohli from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hey, sir. Thank you for taking the question. I just had a bookkeeping one. Could you please let me know the sizing costs for the quarter and for the 9 months period?
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Kohli, but we cannot hear you that clearly. Your voice is sounding muffled, sir.
Just a second. Hello.
Could you please repeat the question? Could you please repeat the question?
Yes, please.
Sir, could you let me know the seismic costs for the quarter?
Yeah. It is about 535 crore.
And what was this last
year? For the 9 months, I am talking about the 9 months. And for a quarter, it is about 210 crore.
And what was this in 3Q FY24?
Yeah, FY24 it was 388 crores, 390 crores for the 9 months, and 125 crore for the quarter three.
Okay, so thank you so much. And just wanted to clarify, you said IGGL will take 18 months or the overall process will take 18 months?
You will get a permission. You just say when the project will be completed.
Yeah, project completion is 18 months. New project.
18 months from now.
From when?
No,
from the PNGRB
authorization. Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Tiwari from Phillip Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for hosting your call and giving me the opportunity to ask this question. So, sir, I'm get clarity on the questions which were asked earlier as well. If you can just lay out the roadmap for reaching the 4 MMT and 5 BCM that you spoke about. So, not really clear on your FY26 production guidance. So, if you can help with that first. And then what is the timeline we are looking at for 4 MMT and 5 BCM? Secondly, what are the infrastructure requirements that are pending for ramping up of our gas production? Because there were a couple of pipelines mentioned when you gave out the details. So I'm not very clear on which pipelines are under construction and which are pending authorization. You mentioned a PNG RP authorization pending for one pipeline. So if you can just put the entire picture clearly in front of us, that would be very helpful. That would be my first question. Thank you.
The 4 MMT, the target, initially we had the plan for five areas we targeted to give maximum impetus on drilling, new drilling. So these were I don't want to name the areas. This time we have added two more areas. So 7 areas we have taken up. So one of the areas, there are a little bit of supply, little bit of production as expected, but all other areas, we have added this time, the Barekuri, specifically we have added Barekuri, and also Sesabil, two more areas. So these are new discoveries, Sesabil is a new discovery, and we are planning to drill a number of wells. Specifically in Barekuri, we are going to drill around 15 more wells in coming days. And in Sesabil, we are planning for another 3-4 wells. So the production will ramp up from these areas, and all at the same time, we are working on the other 5 areas. So like Kumsai, we are planning to put, I think most probably we will be able to put 2 rigs together at the same time. So the Kumsai production will also ramp up. So these are some of the activities we are taking up. And with this, we are planning, hopeful that we will be able to reach 4. Yeah. And at the same time, Rajasthan, what is happening? Rajasthan, we are planning from 700 now.
The timeline for 4 MMT, when are we going to see the 4 MMT?
27. As of now, it will be 27. 26, 27. Yes.
We are almost at 3.6. So it won't take us much time to reach that level.
Nice.
These are some of the immediate term activities that we have taken up. Apart from that, the announcement of the now 9th round of OLAP bidding, we were holding around 55% of exploration acreages. After the announcement, we are yet to receive the letter of award from DGH. Our acreage will go up to more than a lakh square kilometers. So these shows our intent to scale up our production and go even beyond 4. 4 is the target for even.
So what is happening is that this time we are targeting areas outside of Northeast also. So some prospective areas we have already earmarked, and we are most probably if we get those areas, we may not go for seismic because seismic is already available in those areas, and we will directly go for drilling in some high prospective areas. So this is one action we are taking up.
Just for the sake of an opportunity, I will just like to summarize it, that in order to augment our oil and gas production, what all initiatives we have been taking, apart from the fundamental target of 4 million metric ton that we want to achieve by the next physical year or next physical years, which our director of operations commented. See, what happens is that we are primarily an upstream company with, of course, our presence in midstream, downstream, and even in alternate and green and renewable energies, and even going into the mineral resources as well now. But to fuel all these initiatives, we need to have our bottom line fixed. So what we have been doing over the past 4 or 5 years, we have increased our exploration acreage by 6 to 7-fold. So what does this essentially mean? This essentially means that if we don't explore, we don't identify. If we don't identify, we don't harness, evaluate. If we don't evaluate, we don't exploit or harness hydrocarbons. And we do not develop them. So exploration is our forte. We'll keep on exploring, exploring and exploring. Because this is only what is going to lead to reserve accretion. And as I already mentioned in the, one of the previous questions, that this is bound to lead to reserve accretion and more more reserves for us in the future, which will translate into better production of oil and gas. So then, and then what I mean to say is that what happened is that the government of India has recently released around 1 million square kilometers of area in the no-go zone areas in the east and western offshore of the Indian subcontinent. These are very promising areas which for the last 10 to 15 years the government did not, means there were certain statutory problems, defense installations that these were not in place. But since the release of these no-go zone areas, Oil India Limited has taken a very aggressive and very calculated step in acquiring around 40,000 square kilometers of acreages as an operator, which is yet to be notified by the government of India, but we know that we are the lead bidder, and these basins are Mahanadi, KG, and the most important thing is that we have, for the first time, put our foot onto the land of Gujarat in Kembe, where we were nowhere present. So this is another milestone that we have acquired and bought, which is prospective. Apart from this, we have also tied our, we have also extended our collaboration and outreach, because you know that exploration is inherent in certain uncertainties in terms of exploring, exploiting of hydrocarbon resources. We have tied up with national and international oil companies for collaborating and have got 3 blocks in the Indian subcontinent to forward our exploration, development and production targets. Thank you.
You also asked about the actual gas. Gas for the gas, we are doing some of the areas where in terms of allocation of gas, we have already applied to the government that we need to allocate the increased amount of gas that needs to be given to the customers, because the allocation is not done by us. So that is one part, because that already we have applied, from our side we have applied that this much of gas we are going to give it to the customers. So that application has already gone to the ministry, and ministry is looking at it. The other point I would like to raise here, tell you here, is that sometimes because of the seasonal fluctuation and many other reasons, the wells of gas wells needs to be shut down. So what we are doing this time is that when we shut down the gas, we lose the associated oil that comes up, or condensate, whatever that comes up, it is a loss to us. This time what we have done is that we are looking at underground gas storage. Means when we produce the gas, this underground gas will be stored in the reservoir while we take the liquid at the same time. So my liquid production doesn't go down. So this is what is already we have done. And in one area, in well called Nahar Ghatap 257, we have already started putting the gas in the as a storage. So if there is any demand supply issue, then we can immediately put it in the dry gas into the reservoir, but at the same time we can produce the oil. So these are some of the steps we have taken.
Great, so that's very helpful. On the pipeline, we just wanted to understand that which pipeline has a pending authorization from PNGRB, because I suppose we were talking about 2 pipelines here. One was IGGL, of course, another was the expansion of DNPL. So, and then you also spoke about the connection to Dulia Jam. So which pipeline is where the authorization is still pending?
Just 1 minute, I'll explain one more area also. So sometimes what happens is that we have a pipeline from some because of in one area called in the northern side called Dinjan Dakwal. So what happens there also, because of low uptake from other customers, there is an issue that we have to shut down the well and we use a lot of gas. So what we are doing now is that we are bypassing it with the another pipeline. So we are bringing a 20 kilometer of pipeline. We are planning that. So this should also help us. This is a local pipeline, of course. This should help us in mitigating the risk of losing the gas in the process. But regarding the other pipeline, I am requesting to him, Professor,
yes.
My colleague, to reply.
Yes, yeah. To be clear, the DNPL pipeline, that there is a capacity augmentation which is already underway from 1 to 2.5 MMSCMD. The other pipeline you were referring to is the IGGL's pipeline, which has been, permitted by or ordered by MOPNG. There is a directive from MOPNG to PMDRB for authorization. And once that authorization comes, it's an 18-month project. Third pipeline, which DO was referring to, is the pipeline which connects our Arunachal Pradesh field to our main, our central gas gathering station in Duliadam. So this pipeline has unlocked that Arunachal Pradesh field, which was long disconnected from the gas network, and that gas has been monetized. Now, since this pipeline is in place now, that Kumchai Arunachal Pradesh field can be developed further, and it has a capacity of another 1 million standard cubic meter per day.
Sorry to interrupt. May I request the participant to please rejoin the queue? We have other participants waiting for the turn. The next question is from the line of Nitin Tiwari from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Ma'am, I'm already online. Thank you. So basically, the pipeline that we're talking about is connecting Arunachal to Duliadam, and that's what the pipeline you're talking about, where authorization is pending.
No, that pipeline is already operational. We have constructed that pipeline. The Arunachal to Duliadam pipeline is already operational now.
The one is pending, the North Bank.
Pending is not bad. Understood, sir. Thank you, sir, for the clarification. And second question, sir, is as you mentioned that you've acquired number of acreages.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Tiwari. May I request to please rejoin the queue?
Ma'am, two questions are allowed, right? So this is the second question I'm asking.
Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Sir, as you mentioned that you have acquired quite a bit of acreage in the recent licensing round. So, ONGC has entered into a collaboration, a technical collaboration with a global major, are you also evaluating something like that? Can you expect some announcement on that end, sir? Thank you, sir. That is the second question from me.
Yeah, of course. We have been extending our outreach to various international oil and gas companies, both not just in terms of physical coexistence or fiscal collaborations, but what we are looking at is technology, knowledge partnership, and even PI, means participating interest. So let me tell you that we have signed a technical service agreement with Total Energies France for helping us in our exploration and development endeavors in deep and ultra deep offshore waters so that we can leverage their expertise and knowledge. So it is prima facie expertise and knowledge, and thereafter, later if we find them to be prospective together, we can mutually decide upon areas of potential interest where we can farm in or do other types of exploration activity. But as far as other collaborations are there, we are already in touch with various international oil companies, which I am not going to mention right now because we have not been able to free zone to them. But they are in advanced stages, and the evaluations on the prospectivity perception and the explosion endeavors that will go into these acreages is already in place and in advanced stages. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranita from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Sir, Mayank from Morgan Stanley. Just two questions. First, in terms of, sir, you talked about flaring. In terms of percentage flaring because of lack of pipelines, because of the other issues in terms of demand, would you give us an idea of what percentage of your gas is right now getting flared? Or if you were to kind of put the question another way, what would be your total production capacity today if you did not have the supply or the demand constraints on the pipeline side?
Yeah. So flaring, the flaring primary reason was not only due to, pipelines. It was due to remote facilities, remote installations where there was associated gas, where oil was being produced, and that there was not sufficient capacity to put it into gas pipelines. Now, what we have done is we have progressively reduced the flares over last 1 year, over last 2 years, to a level of 0.2 MMSCMD. But at the same time, we have planned at 11 sites new compressor facilities, which are remote facilities, where compressors will be installed to put the low-pressure gas, which is being flared, into our gas distribution network. Now, the compressors have already started getting dispatched and delivered to our sites. And the first of these compressors will get installed in March 2025. So we expect to reach a level of zero normal flare in the course of next year.
So in percentage terms, it has come down from 8% to 4%. The preceding 9 months, that is FY23, our flaring percentage was 8. Now in the current 9 month ended 31st December, this has come down to 4.
Then does it go to 0 after the compressors?
Yeah.
Yes.
After implementation of all the eleven compressors we are bringing, I think it will go further go down. So maybe close to 1.5 or 1.2.
This is not just monetizing the gas. This is also our green effort.
Yes.
That there shouldn't be any escape of emissions into the environment. So it is a double kind of a whammy for us. It will help us generate more revenue and at the same time solving the environmental cost.
And so the second question was more in terms of NRL. Can you share us the progress on the NRL project? How much is complete? What's the timelines are and the capex, etc.?
Yeah, sir, more than 73% completion and physical progress, 78% physical progress has been done. And project cost already spent is about 23,000 crore. And it is still expected to be completed by December 25.
So all the major equipment and everything is all in place and the, I suppose the last pipeline was going on. So you can start mechanical completion in December 25?
Yeah. Majority of the units have already been physically completed by about more than 90%.
Okay. So, sir, when do you start the commercial operations? Like, is it somewhere March 26 or?
Issue is that as soon as the new refinery, this new capacity gets completed, it is not that overnight it will pick up to 100%. It will gradually pick up to 100%. Maybe say first year it will run at about 50 to 60%. Then going forward to say 75, then 75 to 100% will be achieved in the third year. Expected.
What we are basically doing is that because refinery expansion is a progressive thing, it will happen over a period of time. However, at the other end, once it picks up, so that the associated facilities are all in place, so what we are doing is we are almost at the completion stage of the Numaligarh-Siliguri pipeline. That also is being augmented so that this capacity will go up from 1.72 MTA to 5. So things are happening simultaneously.
This is what the Director of Finance is telling is that it's a product pipeline. Like once we bring the crude, at the same time we need to have the product going out. So if we cannot deliver the product, so in this case our product pipeline is around 90% we are complete, and by April it will by April of this year 2025 it will complete before completion of the Paradip to Numaligarh crude oil pipeline. That is the outlook.
So, sir, is it fair to say that everything will be ready by December 25 or whatever the logistical requirements are there, and then you can kind of ramp up from December 25, or you ramp up from April March 26?
We are completing mechanical completion will be by December 2025. There will be some commissioning exercise that will be there. So it will take some time. After that, it will start it. Like, you know, what he already said, that accordingly this will start, production will be getting augmented. It will be a step-by-step process.
So, and so for mechanical completion, you don't need any shutdowns or anything of that of the existing refinery units, correct? That should be all normal.
Commissioning exercise will be done, then accordingly this will be getting augmented.
Sorry to interrupt. May I request?
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Varatharajan Shivashankaran from Antique Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Two questions. One on the Andaman program. How is it going, and what are the milestones we should look forward to?
The Andaman Sea, Oil India Limited has operated in the Andaman and the northeast coast of India in the past, but recently we have again started our exploration activities in Andaman shallow offshore blocks. There are two blocks over there where four number of locations have already been identified. One well has been spotted and it has reached a target depth of around 1,805 meters. The drilling operations are on and the targets are Oligocene reservoirs, which are expected at a depth of around 3,500 meters plus. So we are expecting and hopeful for making a discovery over there. Things are going on as we had planned as of now. So following this well, we'll be drilling another three wells in the Andaman offshore block.
Thanks, sir. On the Numaligarh front, one about the crude pipeline progress, and secondly on the petrochemical, what is the position currently, and is the approval still pending from the board, or is it more like approval is done and the ordering is pending?
As far as approval, environmental clearance, etc. is concerned, these have already been received.
Petrochemical side of the story.
And that is what I am saying. Petrochemical, as regards petrochemical plant is concerned, so all environmental clearance, etc. have already been obtained. And we have already spent about, say, 800 to 900 crore on this project till now. But since refinery expansion is also going ahead on a one footing, so that is why these plants could not be taken up so aggressively. And because we have got target completion of within next 3 years' time. So by December 28, we are expecting this plant also to be completed, to be in place. So total project cost is about 7,200 crores.
Okay. And the progress on the crude pipeline, percentage completion as of now?
Crude pipeline is in track.
That's for completion by what date?
Yeah, it is expected to be completed along with the refinery expansion completion target of December
2020. So, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sabri Hazarika from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thank you. Thank you for the call. So, this will be the last question. So, I just wanted to clarify a few things you mentioned. You mentioned about the oil guidance, but what is the gas production guidance for FY25 and 26 and 5 BCM when it is expected to be hit?
5 BCM is targeted in the year 27-28.
And what would be the production for FY26? How much are you planning?
It will be close to 4. It will be close to 4. 3.84.
4 BCM, right? Okay. And regarding the Arunachal pipeline that you said, this pipeline is commissioned, right?
Yes.
Pipeline is commissioned. Arunachal pipeline is commissioned. Gas is already coming to Kosijan and to the RGGS.
Okay, so this pipeline will basically monetize around 1 MMSCMD of potential gas from the Arunachal fields, right, including Kharsang, right?
Yes, you are right.
Kharsang not included, sir.
So this is different, right? Okay. And last question is, you mentioned two more areas being added to that Mission 4. I didn't get the names properly. Sita, Bill, or which one?
Yes. You want to be specific? So these are Barikuri and the
Sesabil and Barikuri, right?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. And last question, this Nord Bank pipeline, IGGL, the new one, which will connect Numaligarh with Duliajan directly. So you said PNGRB approval is expected in 1 month, then it will take another 1.5 years to commission that pipeline. Is that right?
We have said that MOPNG has given its directive to PNGRB for authorization. Followed by that, IDGL has already applied for authorization, and the authorization is expected anytime soon. And 18 months is the project duration for the completion of the pipeline.
Authorization will come in 1-2 months, right?
Expected anytime soon.
It can't be that specific.
Yeah, got it.
But however, we are expecting that it will come.
Okay, fair enough. And is there any major NRL shutdown which is expected because of the commissioning of the expanded capacity?
No. As of now,
nothing as of now.
Sabri, actually, shutdown may not be required because, as you know, with both these two units are independent.
Okay.
So, the other previous unit, the old unit can run independently of the new unit. So, that is why shutdown of the old unit may not be required when this new unit will be commissioned.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you so much for this conference call, and I hope it was like quite informative and insightful for participants. So, sir, we'll end the call, and before doing so, any closing comments from your side?
So, it's pleasure having you all with us for this interactive session on call. So, I extend my sincere thanks to all those who participated in the con call, and wish you all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can you
disconnect? Yes. Thank you. On behalf of Emkay Global Financial Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.